announcements prior to the start of the meeting. Attendees who have joined the Attila Comments, please place your phones or audio tags on mute until such time as you're presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. And attendees who have joined the Attila Comments, please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link and then dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Meeting logistics. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit comments to the board by emailing public comments at innovationalphavista.org. Public may also provide comments during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. And as required by state law SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the Charter School's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting of Alta Vista Innovation High School regular board meeting operated by Western Educational Corporation in California, nonprofit public benefit corporation for Tuesday, April 9, 2024. At 2:30 p.m. to order. Roll call and establishment of quorum. Michael Adams is here. Glenn Effect.
Here.
Frank Lucasa.
Here.
And Dr. David Rathke.
Here.
They're all present and counted for and do have a quorum for today's meeting. Vanessa, will you please do the Learning Center's roll call?
Yes. Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza from the Charter Affairs team for the Learning Center's roll call. All Learning Centers, can you please unmute your line for the roll call? Do we have a site representative for Adelanto?
Here.
For Apple Valley?
Here.
Fontana? Do we have a site representative on the line for Fontana? Yvonne Gonzalez?
Hello? Fontana's here.
Okay, thank you. Yvonne, is this you for Fontana?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hesperia?
Here.
Compton Avenue, Los Angeles?
Sorry, did you say Compton?
Yes.
Yes, here.
Great, thank you. Whittier Boulevard, Los Angeles?
Present.
Figueroa Street, Los Angeles? Diana, are you on the line for Figueroa Street in Los Angeles? I'll come back. Gardena?
Here.
Inglewood?
Present.
Rancho Cucamonga?
Present.
Thank you. Second Street, San Bernardino?
Present.
Highland Avenue, San Bernardino?
Present.
San Jacinto?
Here.
Thank you. Indiana Avenue, Riverside?
Here.
Chicago Avenue, Riverside?
Present.
And Spruce Street, Riverside?
Present.
So I'm going to circle back to Figueroa Street, Los Angeles?
Present. Present.
Okay. Is this you, Diana?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Learning Centers. This concludes the roll call for AVI. Please place your lines back on mute.
Thank you, Vanessa. And now we want the pledge of allegiance. I'll ask Frank Lucasa, please lead us in the pledge.
Please stand. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Staff introductions, school governance.
Thank you very much, President Adams, members of the board, those learning centers online, and then folks joining us. My name is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Shelley Queen, School Superintendent.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Bill Thompson, Attorney for the Schools.
Thank you.
down in most of the areas to prohibit.
Thank you.
Sherry Padilla, the director for Culture and Career.
Thank you. And presenters, please introduce yourselves.
Hello, board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
Good afternoon, board. Bob Morales, Chief External Affairs Officer, LLAC.
Good afternoon, Memory Molina, Director of Special Education, LLAC.
Good afternoon, Colin Offset, Coordinator of State and Federal Programs.
Good afternoon, Kim Conrad, School Counselor Program Specialist.
Good afternoon, Angie Sims, Principal, LA Region.
Good afternoon, Minerva Clayton, Principal of the Chicago and Riverside and San Jacinto sites.
Good afternoon, Memo Velasco, Principal of Spruce, Rancho NH, and Salon Success.
Good afternoon.
Oh, go ahead, Kim.
Good afternoon, Ken Larson, one of the principals.
And I'm Haley Malosi, Principal supporting the Highland and San Bernardino Learning Center.
Any other presenters?
Good afternoon.
Hearing none.
Martino, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you, Jeff. Anyone else? Thank you. Moving on to item E, may I hear a motion to approve the agenda for the April 9, 2024 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Board of Directors, I move to approve the agenda item, agenda for the April 9th regular public board meeting.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasta, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by David Rathgaber, second by Frank Lucasta. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasta.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item F. May I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the February 27th, 2024 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
And Rathgaber, I move to approve the minutes of February 27th, 2024, regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Thank you.
Frank Picasso, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by David Rathgaber, second by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Picasso.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routinely consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have two consent agenda items. Number one, the board will be asked to approve the revised uniform complaint policy and procedures. And number two, the board will be asked to approve the revised academic integrity and plagiarism policy and update to the school's 2024-2025 parent-student handbook. Do any board members want to pull any consent agenda items for further discussion at this point? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2.
David Rathgaber, I move to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Frank Picasso, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by David Rathgaber, second by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Picasso.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
And that passes with four yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. Time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes unless a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were there any written comments submitted to the board prior to the start of the meeting?
Hi, good afternoon. This is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comments or have requested to speak.
Thank you, Shelley. Moving on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, finance update. Geeta Sharifi.
Hello, board. You have on your screen a detailed information updated as of February 29, 2024. for the school's line of credit. So this is through Hommy Bank, which is a bank for the school. And as you see, the school maintains $4.5 million line of credit with Hommy Bank. And that is at a rate of 9%. That interest rate hasn't changed since my last update. Hopefully it'll drop. Fed has announced they will have three different times reducing interest rates. So as prime rates reduces, that interest rate should drop as well. Expiration date is November 3rd, 2024. We also, as you see under the covenant, those are the requirement formulas we have to calculate to ensure that it matches what the bank requires so that the school can maintain to be able to tap into the line of credit. And the school has always maintained that. And then on the lower section, you'll see LLAC's line of credit, which is through a promissory note. And the school has $3 million of line of credit. And at this time, they've drawn $2.5 million. That's at the fixed rate of 6% through a promissory note with LLAC. And it is expected that that is to be paid back in June of 2024. And then if you have any questions, I'm just going to go over some budgetary items for next fiscal year, and then we can discuss if there's any questions. So as you all know, the state budget directly impacts the education funding for the school, which is through Proposition 98. About 40% of the state budget comes to education, different portions, and a portion goes to K-12. And LCFS funding is the largest portion, which is a significant portion of the budget for fiscal year 24-25. According to the Legislative Analyst Office of California, is facing $68 billion of deficit, which is much higher than governor's anticipated deficit. So the legislator and the governor, knowing that the budget situation has gotten very bad from their original estimations, they've taken what they call an early action agreement, which they believe will lessen the shortfall by about $17.3 billion. So that does not mean that this fixes the whole problem. What it means that they hope these measures will allow them to avoid drastic cuts to education and other basic services in the final budget, which will be signed in June of 2024. Obviously, these accounting maneuvers don't address the underlying weakness in our economy. So if our current path continues, we as a state will not be able to use these tactics next year. Therefore, there will be a significant shortfall and weakness that we need to watch for, which impacts education funding as well. They've taken some trimming strategies or plans, some reductions in other areas, not education, some revenue and borrowing, some delays, some funding shifts within different funding sources, but also they've recommended deferrals, which is anticipated in June of 2025. So basically, what if you recall, the school had deferrals during pandemic, and that was for 7 months, and then the state came back and said, we'll pay you after 2 months. So the school was fine. We had line of credit. And this year, too, we do. There's no worry on that. But if it happens, it'll be June of 2025. They basically don't pay us in June, and then they defer that payment to July. So that would be 1 month of deferral. However, I just want to bring this to the board's attention that the state has a budgetary problem. They don't have any cash problem. So at least cash-wise, they have plenty of cash reserves. We anticipate more budget trimming when the final budget is signed in June. And obviously, I will keep the board up to date as far as what goes on and what happens in May revision. That would be the next changes if we see any. And we believe that the COLA that was already announced in January revision of the governor is at 0.76. That will be maintained for LCFS. But beyond that, again, everything's very uncertain. Education continues to be a high priority for governors. So if nothing horrible happens, as far as the revenue collections, tax collections, which is majority of the revenue of the state, most of education will be preserved. On the federal side, the President Biden on March 28th signed the fiscal year federal budget, which in it had Title I. The school receives Title I, and that funding basically, it was a little bit of an increase. At least there was no cut, but at least for the school, we maintain same level of funding. And again, I will watch the state budget and the federal government, and then if there's anything changes or any updates, I'll bring it to the board's attention. And with that, I conclude my report. If any questions, happy to discuss. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item B, legislative update. Bob Morales.
Good afternoon, President Adams, board members, and staff. Wanted to provide a brief legislative and government relations update. We've reviewed the education bill list provided by our legislative advocates, and there are a few bills we are monitoring closely. However, many do not pertain to us. A few do, and only one of them is scheduled to be heard tomorrow in the Education Committee. There is nothing in the bills we have seen that is particularly disturbing or challenging. The biggest concern continues to be the 2024-2025 budget deficit that Gita addressed in her comments. Committee hearings are beginning in earnest, and we will know more this month about education and appropriation bills and other legislation. We will continue to sponsor tours for the balance of the calendar year and meet with legislators, legislative staff, and other government officials. Next week, I'll be in Sacramento. I have more than 20 meetings scheduled with legislators, legislative staff, and the administration. A couple of weeks ago, the film La Lucha, Getting Schooled in America, was shown at the California Charter School Association conference in Long Beach, and we received great reviews. Some of our schools are looking to show the film in their area. I know it will be shown in Riverside in May, and we will invite our board members, elected officials, community partners, students, parents, and staff. That concludes my report. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item C, the area superintendent update. Janet Wilson.
Good afternoon. Next slide, please. This is our update, data and design update, excuse me, through LP8, which was February 23rd. And these reports give us data points for various important metrics that we like to keep our eyes on. Our student demographics are on the left, and that really has such significantly. On the right, you see snapshots of our enrollment, credit completion, and graduation rates. Our growth and opportunity project with Dr. Hill has been effective this year, as you can see that last year, the enrollment for ABI at the same time was 2,281. This year it is 2,751. For growth, I can check that right. So anyway, so we're up 470 students that go into progression since last year at the same time. I would also like to note that from the last board meeting, we have grown from LP7 to LP8. We were 62 students in LP7.
I feel like you should pause there and just celebrate that. That is a giant. That's giant growth.
It's exciting.
I just wanted to pause and say that out loud and not say that to the end. That is for this year's phenomenal. The project you're working on.
And it's big growth,
yeah.
The great news is where Lincoln is. I'll be up to him by the end of today or tomorrow. And we've been focusing on that. And Inglewood is 8 away from 200. So the goal is 300, but it's step to Tom and Chavez. So they're being really supportive and open, and it's just a great movement strategy. So blessed. Next slide, please. The next slide shows a breakdown of additional enrollment and academic data as compared to last year at the same time and point in time. utilization is at 86.47, which is up from last year at this time when it was 83.07. However, it's an increase of 2.41 from last year. It's a nice increase, but it's not where we need to be. Our goal for ADA is 90%, so we are still focusing on the atomic habits, small incremental improvements. Each LT, just looking at if we are at 89.2, and next LT, let's start for 89.3, and continue those baby steps. We'll get there. Our credit completion is at 2.69, which is a very small increase over last year at this time because it was 2.57. We still have a lot of work to do to get this to our goal of 4 credits per LP. Our overall average core credit completion increased from 1.4 in LP7 to 1.49 in LP8. But we're currently of a PSC that is meeting to talk about how we move that needle for credit completion, and Sherry Padilla will share some of the strategies that we're trying to share. You know, back in the day, it was like, well, you can do that when your chores are done. And so that's using that concept of students. When you turn in 4 credits, then you can do that. Then you can play easily. And it seems to be really working. The one where it's really, really happening, the kids are begging to do the 3D printing. They, each LP, we give a focus to the center that has the highest credit completion, core credit completion, and that center knocked it out of the park. So we're currently keeping our focus on expanding tutoring for more students, but most of all, finding out what really brings them in and what makes them want to, what's their why? What do they love to do? So that's the strategy that we're working on to improve credit completion. And I will now turn it over to Principal Angelique Sims, who will give the Los Angeles report.
Thank you. Are you all able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi. I am Angie Sims, and I am the principal for the LA region. I have enjoyed 6 months here as your principal on the 19th of March, so I'm so excited to continue Janet's vision. For our parent committees, our Inglewood Learning Center held a full day of activities for students and families. Students attended a college field trip to San Diego State University during the day and returned for our Black History Month celebration with music, on-site games, and food. We combined that event with our PAC and ELAC meeting and awards night, and we hosted 47 students and family members for a full evening of authentic family engagement. We started the evening with awards recognizing the first semester students' achievements, and then followed up with dinner and a robust conversation with our families regarding our LCAP, our Title I community school updates. Families provided feedback on the LCAP goals, with staff members facilitating the conversations focused on our strengths and our needs and the specific areas in which we can support our families. The centers then use this information also to update our 30, 60, and 90-day center improvement plans. Next slide, please. Excuse me. For our senior meetings, our counselors across the Los Angeles region sites held senior meetings to review our high school requirements, our credit completion, our post-secondary options, our financial aid overview, and all of our senior deadlines. After the informational session, our counselors met with our students to review their individual academics and to set goals to assist in meeting the graduation deadlines and to encourage them to submit their credits weekly. We also supported students with community college applications, financial aid applications, and the Cal Kids account. Thank you. Our comprehensive support and improvement professional learning community came together to review tutoring practice and academic intervention and to also review the data from the California dashboard. This is our third meeting of the year as tutors and paraprofessionals met or meet once a quarter as professional learning communities to monitor progress toward our CSI goal of increasing access to tutoring by 50%. Tutoring is a distinguished feature of our educational model and a research-proven strategy that increases student achievement, and we're committed to expanding our one-to-one tutoring to more students, specifically our English learners, our socioeconomically disadvantaged students, which are identified on our California dashboard.
Angelique, I think you're muted.
Angie, you're on mute.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure how that happened. Related to our California dashboard, a representative team of administrators, teachers, and operations staff, and our state and federal program coordinators attended our first county-level technical assistance meeting with San Bernardino County Superintendent of School's office. The meeting oriented our team through participation in a root cause analysis and data discussion related to our California dashboard and subgroup performance. Excuse me. The learning provided by this technical assistant will be brought back to our teams to grow collective capacity for implementing improvement actions. We're reviewing our MAP levels and street level data, like our MWEA and our annual survey data, to provide local context and comprehensive information to guide our decision-making processes. Thank you.
It is now my pleasure to introduce Ken Larson, who will share a few of the happenings and events that have been happening in the High Desert.
Good afternoon, Board. It's great to see you again and to speak with you again. We had a great trip to Universal Studios. Any trip you take with students to Universal Studios is a great trip. But this trip had some hooks to it. Last year, we went to Universal Studios, and about half of our kids did not show up the morning of the trip. We never got excuses. They just said they changed their mind. Well, the tickets were good for a year, and we didn't want to waste them, and we were good stewards of the money that was spent. So all we had to do was rent a bus to use the other half of the tickets. And we took students that are in our Chaffey College classes, in our career pathways, and students that were doing between 4 and 6 credits per learning period as a rewards trip down to Universal Studios. They had an absolutely amazing time. They really enjoyed themselves, and it really promoted the idea of rewarding them for the work that they do. Next slide, please. A bunch of our students up here in the High Desert had the opportunity to go over to Victor Valley College, and these pictures only reflect a few of the ones that went. They went to VVC, and they had a great time touring the entire school. They got to see the classes that were available, the programs that were available, and the unique part about going to VVC is that they have a lot of trades that are taught there, welding, automotive, agriculture, you name it, it's taught there at Victor Valley College, as well as the fire and law enforcement services and the aviation programs that are available out on the old military base here. The students got the chance to see what they could do if they went to college and got a degree and how much more money they could make if they actually went and got their technical certifications and got jobs. The kids are now excited. If you are going to go on to four-year colleges, many of them want to get in there and only spend about $10,000 or $12,000 and make as much as those with bachelor's and master's degrees. So they're very excited, and we're looking forward to another trip. Victor Valley College is very accommodating and will give us a trip anytime we want to go. Next slide, please. We're going to lay down a challenge here. we have a competitive esports team up here. And we have been in the playoffs. We've had 4 wins, sadly 2 losses. But we're going for an ace where we beat everybody in every single game. We came in 4th overall in the state in the tournament that we were in our esports competition. What you're seeing here is the middle picture is the esports location here in the high desert in the Adelanto site. And I think the other two sites are down the hill at other remote locations. But esports is an absolutely wonderful tool for us to use to get students involved. First, the kids that are on the team have to be completing 1.5 credits per week, 6 credits per LP minimum, which puts them at the pace they would be in a regular school. There are also credits they can achieve doing the esports program, elective credits, and they're able to improve their, those don't count towards the 6 that they have to do. And we have this little thing where if you want to come in and just play, you give us 2 credits for the week and you can come in and play all you want. We actually have one student here in the high desert in Hesperia who tells his mom he's going to school every day and his mom's so happy. And on Tuesday, he completes all of his work. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he plays video games. I have communicated this to his mom and his mom got concerned and I pointed out to her, he's going to graduate 1.5 years early. And all you have to do is let him keep thinking he's pulling one over on you. She smiled and said, that works for me. So the esports and computer games have a wonderful future. And this young man is good enough and becoming even better. He may actually find a career in esports, which I keep asking, where was that when I was a teenager? But so esports is really doing well. And I thank you for the opportunity to have told you about what's happening here in the high desert.
Thank you, Ken. And now Principal Minerva Clayton will share some of the special events that have been taking place at the Chicago Avenue and San Jacinto sites. And yes. I do want to add that her sites also have esports, and they really come out. It's so fun to be there and hang out with those kids seeing it happen. She has 2 great coaches. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Janet. Thank you so much. Yes, good afternoon, everyone. My name, like Janet said, is Minerva Clayton, principal of the Chicago site in Riverside in San Jacinto. And I have a great team that is always on their toes to provide as much engagement for students. We've had a very busy, fun and busy month. Students have gone to Riverside City College, a youth leadership conference, a live theater production of The Lion King. And most recently, we kept a skeleton crew working during our spring break so students could reach out to the staff and continue working if they wished. And we do that every break. It's a great thing for students. However, the 2 events that I really want to talk to you about are the 2 slides that I'm going to address. And this one right here, I'm very proud of, is the Career Day at the Chicago site. And every time we have a big event, we bus our students from San Jacinto over to the Chicago site, and they experience the same event. So we like to think of each other as one big school. Our counselors, Cecilia Gutierrez and Marisela Evangelista, our CTE teacher, Noemi Ramirez, and our Jobs for American Graduates teacher, John Woodcock, spearheaded this event. It was amazing. There were over 60 students that attended. We had more than 20 vendors that participated, which included the military, Navy, Marines, and the Army. We had local city colleges and universities, including Riverside City College, Moreno Valley, Ben Clark. We had Grand Canyon University, Cal Baptist University. We had a driving school that was there to talk about, you know, how to get your driver's license. We had Riverside School of Career Ed there, and we had McDonald's there ready to interview our students if they were interested in a job, which was amazing. We had guest speakers, and which included one of our alumni students who took advantage of the dual enrollment at RCC. We paid for that in Riverside City College. He got his certificate for welding. He's working as a welder now. He came to talk to his students, to our students, to say, hey, this works. This really is real. It's a real thing. So got everybody really excited about this dual enrollment and getting an education. We had a family therapist there to talk about what she does. One of our teachers used to repair autos, and so he talked about that. And to top it off, we had a food truck to come. It was a Habit food truck, and it provided lunch to everybody. It was a great, successful event. Next slide, please. And so on February 29th, we had the English Learner Advisory Committee and our Parent Advisory Committee, which was the same night. We had it in different rooms. We also had our awards night, which was all in one room. We had over 100 attendees, and we provided a nice catered dinner. We provided information for parents and for students on SARC report, on the LCAP goals. We updated on grants, on funding, state testing, understanding EL reclassification. We provided parents and students surveys. We asked them to give us information on what they thought would be good for LCAP goals, different ideas. We had about 35 of our students that were recognized due to their academic achievement, honor roll, most improved, dual enrollment. And I have to say, this was also a very successful event. And thank you so much for allowing me to present today. Thank you.
Thank you, Minerva. And our last presentation is going to be from our, I never get your title right.
School counselor program specialist.
Kim Conrad, because our counselors this is such a busy time for them with seniors getting ready to graduate, FAFSA. So Kim, take it away.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much, Janet. Like she said, my name is Kim Conrad. I am the school counselor program specialist for our ABI schools. And so these are just some of the updates that we have with our counselors. We're super busy. Right now, we are helping with our financial aid. As you can see on the screen, we did a regional-wide final lap where we are really pushing for the April 2nd deadline. But come to find out, Assembly Bill 1887 was put into effect right during this week, so it gave our students and our counselors a little bit of sign of relief that we got an extra month to get more financial aid applications in. So they're still working really, really hard to reach all of our students to get all of their FAFSAs or their California Dream Acts in for those who want to go on to post-secondary education and get that financial aid that most of our students will qualify for. On March 8th, we all attended the annual Homeless Education Liaison meeting. This is a mandate yearly for our counselors to be trained and to be certified to be able to be our foster and homeless youth liaisons for our students. So my team went to that. It was out in Rancho. It was a great training, and they got a lot of good information and updates for our special programs for our students. And then we also had a College Access, a virtual college week that was provided through our College Access program with LLAC. And this was open to all students virtually. I know it's really tiny on there, but there was a 3-day kind of hosted virtual workshops, and different presenters were on there from all kinds of colleges. And so students were able to jump on at certain times to get as much information as possible during that college week. And then you can kind of just see a couple of those pictures up there again to promote our FAFSA, the final lap. We had students and staff kind of wear college gear and kind of workout clothes, or they're on their last marathon to get their financial aid applications in. And then one of the sites did a kind of an alien thing about don't space out on getting your FAFSA done. So we try to make it fun and exciting to engage as many students as we can. And that's it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kim. That concludes our report. Do you have any questions or anything I can answer for you?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Yeah. Okay. So this is David Ratcliffe. I love statistics. When I look at this, I'm looking at consolidated numbers for 16 learning centers, which tells me that this is the mean over 16. Without knowing the standard deviation, and I wouldn't ask you to figure it out. But without knowing that, it would not surprise me if there's one or two learning centers that are way over here and one or two that are way over here. And I wouldn't ask you to come in monthly and say, this guy's struggling or that school's struggling. But if there are schools that need attention, bad news doesn't get better with age. So we can't help, we don't know. So this is great. It looks like everybody's doing well, but if you ever have a school that, or a learning center rather, that's really struggling keeping you up at night, feel free to report that.
Absolutely, and I would be happy to do that. Also, just to let you know, the principals get those for their site.
Right.
So, and I get those as well, so I can keep an eye on it.
Right, I know that you do, and I don't want you to lose sleepless nights without him losing them.
Well,
Or us. I mean, that's
where I can name you the sites where, okay. And I have a conversation with the principal. How can I support your ADA? Is not quite here. Yeah. You know, we look at
I'm not asking you to come in and put people on report. I'm just saying if there comes a time when there's a learning center that you're concerned about because you're putting time and resources and effort, just give us a heads up. That's all. Because this is an.
The one thing I will tell you is that I'm seeing, and what I look for is consistent, small incremental change, and we are seeing that. Sure. LA has gone up 2% in their ADA since December. So we'll take that. And
please don't misunderstand. No, I come in every month, so these are my local
office. It's your responsibility to ask me that.
Yeah, I need to know.
It, absolutely. It's
right.
No, I appreciate it, and I would never call anyone out, but we meet regularly one-on-one with principals to go over the data, and then as a large group, we have our, so they're getting competitive, and they want to try and move the trophies.
You just want to be here to help.
I really appreciate that, and the four centers that we've been focused on, I'm proud to tell you they are making some progress.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item D, Leola update. Sherry Padilla.
It's a pleasure to be here with you guys, to actually meet you guys in person. I'll make this brief. I feel like the principal's already kind of dropped the mic on dual enrollment and all that already, and kind of got some of the surprise out there, or like the 3D printing, like we touched about earlier in this credit. That the students have to do in order to do the 3D printing. Right here we have, it's the job for American graduates. Like Minerva said earlier, John Woodcock is our JAG specialist, and he went to a career day along with Noemi and a couple other people from the CT department, and they brought about, I want to say about six kids up to Lancaster to do the career day, and there was all of the whole organization brought kids up to Lancaster, so it wasn't just our region. But they had 30 students doing the CPR. They had about 20 students doing a carpentry workshop. And we had two students win awards. One award was for the second place for prepared speaking. So the kids like got to sit down like a mock kind of interview in front of strangers and talk to them. And one won this prepared speaking, and another one won the third place for interviewing skills. So, like, how did they speak? How did they act with all these questions and involvement with the staff that was interviewing them? We have partners that have participated. Joanne Robinson, who was the EMT and brought the truck and did the CPR for our kids. So she's articulated with Chief College, and she actually does our EMT program. Where am I at? So, and then Nate Larson did the carpentry workshops. He's my CTE teacher for the team in the high desert. So he went to Lancaster and had the 20 kids do the workshops, and they built this like death beanstool. It was super cool. They did it within an hour. And the kids got to bring it home with them. So it was really cool. And for our WIO update, we have ONH Operation New Hope. They're doing music now. So they started in our San Bernardino site, and it's growing. They're going to go to the Rancho site next and then the Fontana site next. So the kids love the music all the way around. We are expanding with WIOA. We have some new partners coming across the whole region. So like Operation New Hope is going into Riverside now, and we have EFIS going into Riverside now. So now we have almost the same partners across the whole region, helping our students be successful. And they're doing their WIOA support,
services around wraparound services and offering everything for the kiddos under the sun. Stephanie Dykstra, she's my MOU queen. We go to her and she could do any MOU under the sun, and she's working on another MOU with another WIOA partner, California Life Services, so we could expand them as well. For our CTE update, the EMT EMR articulation with Chaffey College is up and running in San Jacinto, and we have 15 students in that cohort presently right now. And they usually do very awesome in it. They get their CPR certification and first aid. Next slide, please. So here are some grants that we have active and going right now. I'll let you guys kind of skim through them because there's a lot to go over. The highlights that I do want to mention are we're pending the news on the use bill grant that we just applied for. I know, and press release too. So we find out the end of April, and it's almost $1 million for over 3 years for our students. So we're pretty excited about that. We're pending the California Community Schools, and then we're working on the specialized secondary program grant, which will help fund our CTE programs that implement like the stipends for the teachers to help build up the curriculum and, you know, beef it up and get it better for our students. At Chaffey College, we are still very active with Chaffey College. They're seriously, I love them. Hands down, they give us about 100 to 150 spots per semester. The kids could pretty much do any course they want to, but what we specialize in on the CTE team will do English, 1A and 1B, biology, earth science, accounting, Spanish, guidance, history, and then a new one that we just brought on was work experience, so our kids that are working and all that to get college credits and high school credits at the same time. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we get Youth Build, and then the students that are in the Youth Build program to do the work experience course at the same time. So we're ticking the CCI boxes all the way around. And then RCC, we have 2 active students right now in the welding program, and they're doing awesome as well. I just got their, it's a partial grade, so it's half a semester, and they're getting A's and B's right now. So they're doing very good. Next slide. This is just a fun slide I wanted to kind of put together. The pause to share is our dogs. We have them across the region now on every site. So the dogs come in and will interact with the students and the staff. Just kind of, as you can see, they love them. They're having fun with them. And it's just something to break up their day and make it less stressful. And welding, those are the alumni student that Mrs. Clayton was talking about, the one that came in for that career day. These are some of the things that he's making now out of the welding classes that he's been doing, and he actually has a welding job, I believe, with his dad now. So he's that 3D printing. That was also at the career day that Mrs. Clayton was talking about, but I wanted to show you that because along with this, that it's across the region. All the sites are doing the 3D printing, and the kids love it, and it is bringing in the credits because I know, like in Rancho, like what Mrs. Wilson was talking about, they have to turn in 2 credits a week to do a small one, or 4 to 6 credits in LP to do like a medium-sized one. So the kids love it and start turning in the credits, and they start getting the motivation going. And then we still have the partnership with the Girl Scout Ranch that we've mentioned in the past. We go a couple times a year. And the last visit that we did was the High Desert construction team, and they built a yurt at the Girl Scout Ranch, and they actually use it now. So it's active, and they're using it. And then we just did carpentry workshops. They're growing across our region now. So I know we always mention that construction is in the High Desert, but now it's moving across our whole region. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
I really love the the computer stuff. I mean, I think that's great that they're doing it. I can see how that would bring the kids in and and, you know, kind of push the kids a little bit to do another credit. So I think those things are great.
The team, it's the teachers and the team on the ground that to reel these kids in and recruit them and get them active and keep them active.
If I could also point out that during COVID, a lot of one-time funds came to us. And so we looked at what can we use these for so that when funds are gone, we still have a program for the students. And so that is eSports equipment, 3D printer, 3D printing, and the arts grant for arts and music. We purchased the musical instruments. So the monies are now just about gone, but we can continue on. So, and then the grant support all of it.
Those are huge blessings.
Yeah. It's a really huge bit of grant.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E, local control and accountability plan goals and metrics. Colin Opsett.
Good afternoon. I don't know if you saw, I've been turning my camera on and off. I'm getting a very calming pink screen instead of a camera feed, so I apologize for not being on camera today. Thank you for hearing my presentation today on some of the goals and metrics that are in this report here. Alta Vista is in the last year of our LCAP cycle, so this is going to be a busy end to this school year with lots of LCAP reports coming in. We also have to share what our plan is for the next three-year cycle. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that's coming your way. I apologize for that. The reporting question is found on pages 36 through 39 of your school board packet. It's up here on the screen, but I'll spend a few minutes here going over the goals and highlight some of the key growth and challenges we faced in prior and current years. Starting with goal one, we are focusing on increasing academic progress, and we've done pretty well over the last couple of years with about 98 to 100% employment of highly qualified credentialed teachers and the fact that they're working within their credentialed or appropriate assignment. One area of challenge on this page right here is our NWEA benchmark testing. We are addressing this through differentiated assistance, and Angie referenced this in her presentation that they attended San Bernardino County Office of Ed Training. That's the differentiated assistance program. And as the school is targeted for differentiated assistance, we're working with that POC to address the percentages of students completing their NWEA assessment through the end of the school year. The targeted group is the social disadvantaged subgroup. This will help us understand better how to provide instruction for that subgroup next year. And one bright spot, though, is that on the math assessment, it's the highest that it's been in the past 3 years. So we have seen some positive growth here. It is a little bit of a mixed bag, but differentiated assistance is a short cycle improvements system that we do, and we check in with the county on how we're doing. So really hoping that as we get more students NWEA tested, that we'll be able to target some instruction and see continued growth here. Another bright spot is our credit completion being the highest since the 2021 school year, and our EL reclassification rate is approaching the state average. I think part of that is due to the EL reclassification rate. We're doing like monthly reviews for reclassification versus twice annual. Let's go on to goal two. And that's our college and career readiness progress. Overall, our data here is pretty strong. We've seen a large jump in the number of students that are participating in career-ready courses. And this is our best year in 5 years on this. And you just heard from Sherry Padilla, our director of college and career readiness. She's worked very hard to improve not just the tracking of our data, but also helping to provide a broad spectrum of course offerings to our students. One area of concern, though, is our performance on the state assessments, differentiated assistance, being that it's now a core focus of our program. And with the support of San Bernardino County Office of Ed, it's really helping us re-look closely at our data, at areas of improvement.
throughout the school year. Instead of looking, trying to move one needle, we're going to try to move three or four small needles. So I think we're going to see some improvement. Probably not as much this year as we'll see next year, just due to the fact of the support cycles that we'll be in with the county on that. Goal three, if we can actually move to the next goal. Thank you. Is increasing student retention. This is probably our best performing goal here. Just with the massive growth in enrollment this year, I want to thank Janet. She's been so supportive as we've run some pretty, I would say, groundbreaking programs in our region, both in the Inland Empire and in Los Angeles, for retaining and re-engaging students. And that's led to that huge growth of about 500 students this year. She's also really positive when we meet with our leadership teams, encouraging them to find creative ways to encourage students to stay in school. And that's that retention piece that's so important. If you're always just trying to enroll and then you lose the students right away, you're not going to actually do what you say you're going to do, which is help students. So I really appreciate that. And I know the leadership team does as well. We believe that our NWA performance, though, is going to improve. And it kind of, as we're looking at retention, you know, if students are struggling academically, this all kind of dovetails together, where retention comes from students receiving access to curriculum and differentiated instruction appropriately. So even though these numbers have really improved, we think that they're going to improve even better next year. And lastly, if we look at goal four, which is partner engagement, the data here also is encouraging. Overall, our student, staff, and parent survey results reflected that the school is safe and welcoming. We did not meet our goal for parent conferences and PAC and ELAC participation this year on this report, and they look low because you'll notice in the other columns, those are all end-of-year reporting numbers. And the number here for 23-24 is LP 1 through 7. So we have yet to hold some meetings. I think that we will hit our goal here for our annual participation and our parent engagement. This concludes my presentation on LCAD goals and metrics. That's in your board packet. Thank you for the opportunity. And are there any questions?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item F, school survey report. Again, Colin Onset.
Thank you. The annual survey report is actually a pretty large report. It's found on page 41, which is 67 of your board packet. I'm just going to summarize the report here and pull out a few things that may be of interest. We improved our participation rate this year versus last year on the school climate survey. I really want to pass some kudos over to the LA region. They did a really good job of connecting with parents and students to complete surveys. I think it was East LA was like 90 something percent completed, very high. So they did a great job. Overall, the vast majority of students shared that they believe that the school is safe and that they're able to spend enough time with their teacher. That's encouraging for us as a leadership team because so many of our students have had negative experiences prior to coming to Alta Vista. On page 42, in the bottom left corner, we did see that we can improve in hosting more activities and events for students. And pages 43 through 47, there are some challenges for us. Janet, with her support, really supported the expansion of social emotional health supports over the past few years. You heard briefly from Kim Conrad as well. And her team has really done a massive lift over the past couple of years with our students. And, you know, from being open during breaks or being available during breaks to bringing up partnerships. And, you know, they've really done an excellent job. And students are, I think, feeling socially secure, emotionally secure. When they're taking the survey, I think they really are being honest that they need some help. And We have done a really good job of trying to hire enough counselors. We have 11 counselors at Alta Vista. And we're trying to, our goal was always 350 students to one. And I think we're in the 220s right now. We've done a really good job of providing an elevated level of social emotional support for students. And the students are actually reaching out and they're saying, yes, we need that. But I'm coping okay. But, you know, we have the counselors available for them. If we go to page 48, one thing that I thought was kind of interesting, students are saying that they want more school events. And I don't think any of the leadership would disagree with that. School events are fun and they get students to come in. A lot of times we can tie them to credit completion. And students are saying that they want more of that. There's a couple of ways we fund that. We can fund that through our LCAP. We can also use some grant funding for that as well. For example, community school, while that's not directly in our LCAP, it is something that really drives our school forward and really helps us bring in the community into the school. But we also have LCAP Goal 1, Action 5, which is school events and field trips that we use for that. And it's a sizable amount of money. We have an upcoming D.C. field trip. The LA region just went on a D.C. field trip to Washington, D.C. a couple months ago. But we also have other things like prom and things like that. So this large school events budget, there's a fair amount of money yet to be spent this school year. I think it was just interesting that they're saying they would like us to do more in that regard. And that's something that really helps school culture. So we're taking the results really seriously. One other thing that I thought was also interesting was that students want more SGI classes or small group instruction classes. And that is a growth trend in our charter in increasing access to small group instruction. And we do that both with teachers and then with the tutors, with the support of the teachers. The remainder of the data report is relatively positive. With more responses, we believed that we were able to get better data that reflected a larger subset of our families and our student populations. One of our brightest spots always is our suspension rate. It's near zero again this year. And I think that the safe and secure facilities that we have across our charter reflected in this, in that basically every population that took the test or took the quiz said that they felt safe and secure and welcome at our school. And that is something that is really, really important. They also agree that our facilities are clean and well-stocked with items that students need to be successful. And again, just returning to that through line through the data, students would like to see more events and they would like to have fun. And I can't blame them for that. So we actually have an annual calendar cycle that we go through each spring. And we'll go through that again. And we'll put those events on the calendar and ask for input at our PAC and ELAC meetings. We ask it every time we have a meeting if there's something that they would like to do. So we'll make sure that we're more intentional and really trying to get those onto the calendar. Because we know students won't come to a place that isn't warm, welcoming, and positive. So culturally, the data is reflecting that Alta Vista is doing a pretty good job with connecting with our students and families. Staff turnover is low. Student retention and participation is improving. Enrollment is up, and students are continuing to graduate. It's pretty encouraging stuff here. So I'd like to conclude my report. Are there any questions or comments from the school board regarding our annual school climate survey?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Thank you very much. Item G, CDE notification of 2022-2023 annual determination pursuant to the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, a selection for 2023-2024 special education monitoring activities. Emery Molina.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Good afternoon. In support of implementation of IDEA, the CDA will send each school the annual determination letter that indicates the school's status related to special education compliance. And so in your packets today, you should have received a copy of this letter for your records.
The CD completed their data review and identified the monitoring tier and level for compliance and improvement monitoring, which is known as CIM, process for the 2024. And based on the previous years, plus any additional data collected and reviewed, Alta Vista's monitoring level is targeted level 3, needs assistance. And really what that means is that previously in 2023, Alta Vista completed and has began implementing a plan. The CIM team developed that plan, and it is in the implementation process now. And so what we are to do moving forward with the new data that we received is that we will review it, make sure that we understand the current data based on last year's data and the plan that we have in place, and determine if any adjustments or changes are needed to that plan to maximize the impact of the improvement activities. So we will continue with that plan that was developed in 2023. And we will continue to participate in any webinars or workshops that are hosted by the CDE and our SELPA that are designed to support that development and the implementation process. And we would update you as that plan continues to be implemented and unfold in the different directions that we get it in. Any questions from the board regarding the CIM plan?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item A, 2024-2025 draft board meeting dates. It is in your board packet on page 73, and our meeting dates for the next fiscal year, August 27th, October 15th, December 3rd, February 25th of 2025, April 8th of 2025, and June 3rd of 2025, all those starting at 2:30 p.m. except for the last one in June of 2025. Starts at 3:30, all of them at this site, and please update your calendars to show those meetings. Five action items. Item A, the board will be asked to approve the amended conflict of interest code. Mr. Martineau.
Thank you, President Adams, and good afternoon, board. In your board packets, please refer to the amended Western Education Corporation conflict of interest code that includes the position of chief operating officer, as was shared as an informational item during the last board meeting. At this time, I am asking the board to approve the amended conflict of interest code, which will be submitted to the Fair Political Practices Commission for further approval as part of the 2024 COI biannual review. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5A.
David, right here, I move we approve action item 5A.
Thank you.
Frank Picasso, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by David Rathgaber, seconded by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Picasso.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item B, the board will be asked to approve the Declaration of Need, DON, forms as a prerequisite to the issuance of an emergency permit and or limited assignment permit for teachers at the school for the 2024-2025 school year per California Board of Regulations 80026. Jenna Wilson.
The Declaration of Need, or the DON, is submitted annually, and it is our best prediction of how many emergency credentials we might need for our specialization areas for our staff. And we currently, for the next coming school year, for ABI, anticipate needing 4 class emergency certifications, 3 bilingual authorizations, and 1 resource certification. I'm respectfully requesting that the board approve the DON report.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5B.
David Rathgaber, approve action item 5B.
Frank Picasso, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by David Rathgaber, seconded by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Picasso.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Well, thank you very much, President Adams. I must say I'm always impressed by the amount of information that you can provide throughout this entire say they're probably all delighted with the spring break to have a week to breathe in and out occasionally. So I think that was important. I really want to thank you all so much for what you present to us. That it's not only impressive, it's appreciated. Thank you. Back to you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Ms. Vincent?
Thank you, sir. I have nothing more to add.
Thank you. Ms. Haynes? Mr. Thompson? Good. Thank you. Ms. Whistle?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Any board member observations and comments? If not, we'll move on to item 7, closed session. We'll be adjourning the open public board meeting for a closed session. And so at this time, I'd like to request a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting and go into closed session for number 1, public employee performance evaluation under government code section 54957B1, title superintendent, and number 2, conference with labor negotiator under government code section 54957.6, agency designated representative Steve Churchwell or Jenny Krangle, and the unrepresented employee is area superintendent. So at this time, may I hear a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting?
David Ratker, I move to adjourn the open public board meeting, going to closed session for the reasons listed in the agenda.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by David Ratker, second by Frank Lucasa. Any further discussion? We'll call vote. Michael Adams, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And Dr. David Ratker?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. We are now going into closed session.
Right now. Everyone has returned, Mr. Adams.
Thank you very much, Shelley. Action taken under the closed session. Motion made by Dr. David Rathgeber, seconded by Frank Lucasa, and on a unanimous vote, the board voted to adjourn the closed session to convene the open public board meetings. We'll now move on to item 8, action item A.
And no action was taken.
And no action was taken. The board will be asked to review and approve the salary range for the area superintendent compensation. Mr. Thompson.
Yes, thank you, Board President. It's recommended that now that the board has had an opportunity to meet with Mr. Churchwell of Buckhalter, that the area superintendent compensation be increased, and this is referring to the range. That the range be $170,000 to $198,750. At the top end of the range, that's a modest increase from $185,500. So again, the new range would be $170,000 to $198,750.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? I'll hear a motion to approve action item 8A.
David Rathgeber, I move to approve action item 8A.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by David Rathgeber, seconded by Frank Lucasa. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 9, closing items. The next regular board meeting date is June 4th, 2024 at 3:30 p.m. I will now take a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Mr. Rathgeber, we adjourn.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Good meeting.